Exactly.
Yeah. Worst people.
All right, we on? Yeah. Oh, look at that. Good morning, everybody. It is Friday. I made it to the end of the week. Aren't you fantastic? And yes, we are live. We are ready to take care of you this morning. Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. Here is Ben. Ben Karpinski. Look at
him. Hey, everybody.
In all his post-Kruger Park glory.
Yeah, don't you just love how it's getting so much lighter in the mornings now?
It is. It's getting much better. It's nice out there on Western Drive, as you can see.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's
you know what? Something smells of smoke.
That's me. That's still me.
Why?
Guys, this week I was farting fire, like genuinely.
Were you a far farter?
No, it was. So, you know, having the week in the Kruger is always the best thing. And it's always very chilled and relaxed. You know, there's danger around because you're in a place of the wild.
Yeah, sure. And so the elephants and lion and...
Well, whenever I go into a toilet, I always check the basin. I check all the holes for snakes.
Yes, you must.
And then...
Black mambas.
And then you relax, okay? So on the Wednesday, I think it was a Tuesday night, we're staying in Olifant's camp.
Right.
And all of them have these beautiful little thatch rondavels.
Yeah, I know.
It's all very nice, you know? You know what you're getting. It's not premium. It's not luxury, but it's nice. And then out of nowhere, this wind came up. I've never heard a wind like this. I've never seen a wind like this. It was like a mini hurricane came through the camp.
Shit.
And then suddenly there was a bit of commotion and there was a car light shone into my bedroom window. I was like, who is this prick and can he turn this light off? And then I just see all this orange light, like fire, fire, fire. So what happened was is that some guy decided to light a wood fire and then go for a little walk. But as he went for a little walk, the mini hurricane pulled in.
Was he a foreign tourist?
Yes.
God damn it.
Flame then caught thatch. And then within, because I chatted to some of the eyewitnesses, within 3 minutes, three units were up in flames, as in the fire had caught the thatch.
And it's you said it's so dry there at the moment, right?
It's so dry. It's so incredibly dry.
Raven says Ben is responsible for the fire. He
no,
is absolutely
I'm
not. But look at these pictures you took.
I'm actually on the left there farting with the fire. You can see.
Oh, someone else take this for you.
Yeah. So that was within 20 minutes of the fire going up.
How did you help fart?
So all we could do, because there's a Hilux with a drum on the back.
Yeah.
And they fill that up and then they've got a hose coming out.
Okay.
But that only seemed to have about, I don't know, 300 liters of water.
Yeah. It's not a lot.
Small fire.
Oh.
And
Jesus, look at that.
While this was happening, me and about 10 other guests, of which English was minimal, we were just taking anything that could hold water down to the place.
Yeah.
And then we'd take the small buckets that were bins in all the rooms and just douse these units as best we could.
Jesus. So they lost three of them.
Three gone. So, and for about 2.5 hours, we're running up and down, up and down, up and down with all this water
to try
get into the thing. So... Yeah, we all just took turns where we were. And the smoke inhalation is quite something, of course. But there was a similar fire in Sotara, which was close by.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't send the fire truck to us from there. So for 2 hours, the blaze was actually brought to a standstill purely on guests and staff with buckets.
Wow.
And then as the fire was pretty
That's quite heroic.
Was pretty much done, the big red fire truck rolls in. They give us all masks. They tell us all the fire precautions. It's like... We've been having it.
Down this road before.
And then the rest of the stuff. And then, like, obviously a big old Dutchman came out and he just looked at everything and everything was fine after that. Like a circle of events. But I've been scrubbing, I've been washing. I still smell like, because we were in the, there was times where I couldn't see, my eyes were burning and yeah, but you know, you get stuck in. But
look at that.
It was so scary because all those embers are just going into the camp now and you weren't sure how far away they were going.
Yeah, because they can then fly right into and something else and light
everything
it.
Is so dry. So
sure.
So what they were doing after that is they were kicking the doors down to try to get all the things out of the other units in case they caught fire. And the units, obviously the guy who set the fire, his stuff was screwed. No one cared. But the next two units were these American tourists who apparently lost their passports, cameras.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Clothes.
They were shitty.
They were wearing a bushbriar outside of the camp. And this all happened. But freak winds, freak weather, never leave your fire unattended. That's rule number one.
No, I mean, that's kind of obvious. I wish like foreign tourists would go on some... Mind you, you don't want to have them go on a course because they're not going to listen anyway. But you know, you would think a wood fire, wind, it's very dry. This is kind of basic stuff. Maybe we just take it for granted that you should know this stuff in Africa.
Yeah, we do. And you don't want warning signs everywhere because the Kruger is... there's so many things about the Kruger that are amazing. One of them is that it is pretty wild and chilled and just like do what you want.
Mm.
To a degree, of course.
Like, yeah, of course.
Don't drive off the road. No. Don't run after the animals. Those kind of, but this common sense though, just like the fire should be common sense. Yeah, maybe there should just be charcoal fires. Yeah.
I don't know. It's very irritating.
It sucked a bit, but I've never seen the Kruger so dry, as in desolate, dead. Really? It's the driest I've ever seen it. The bush has been the thinnest I've ever seen it. But we still managed to see big five. We actually saw rhino.
Nice.
Big rhino. Saw leopard on 3 occasions.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Damn
saw
good.
Saw like the biggest herds of buffalo, elephants, all the beast.
That's awesome.
It was cool.
Well, I'm glad you had a nice time.
All in
and
all.
And you took your folks.
Well, yeah, because they do like a once-a-year thing, and I just drove them around. Because you need to, it does help.
But you did say that when you go, I mean, when they go on their own, they never see anything.
They don't see a lot, no. It's like a lot of bad luck.
When you go with them, then they see more.
Yeah, I take some photos, make a bit of a day trip, but I'm so exhausted still. You don't really sleep that much. You sleep in the shitty single beds.
Yeah, yeah.
Sandbox accommodation is cool and all, but you don't relax. You go there, you probably drink, and then you wake up every morning at 5 to get out. So I'm looking forward to some sleep this weekend. Really am.
I am too. I'm very excited about the weekend just because it'll be nice to do as little as possible, right? I was at a foundation dinner last night. They managed to raise the TAG Foundation. We actually had Johnny Khadber on here the other day. And the TAG Foundation raises money and then puts a whole lot of boys through Kez.
Yeah.
And now some girls through Parktown Girls. And they find these really deserving, really talented, really clever young kids who maybe don't have the funds, and they pay for everything for them. They raised 2.1 million rand last night at an auction. That's bloody amazing.
That's incredible.
Isn't it?
Honest, Johnny and his team do a great job. They really
so
do.
So good.
And it's such a leg up. You know, people always go, oh, if I just had opportunities. But to go to that school within that structure, yeah, within that support base, with those people, it's a network for life as well.
I just love that there are people, you know, this is the thing about South Africa that nobody really takes into consideration when we talk about all of our problems and all the things that we've got to deal with, the challenges and all of that stuff, is that there are good people like Johnny and his wife, Tracy, who are essentially like parents to 60 kids.
Yeah.
They are putting them through school. They are buying their sports kit. They are making sure that they have stationery and books. They're paying for their hostel accommodation, if that's what they need. They are paying for their lunch boxes, everything. They take care of everything. I mean, these are the most incredible people. The foundation is incredible. There are lots of people who support it who are incredible. And, you know, those kinds of things, you can't account for them when it comes to the kinds of things that go on in South Africa that are just, they speak very highly of some of our people in this country who are doing way more than their fair share of heavy lifting.
And weren't asked to.
No.
And they weren't guilted into. No. And they weren't given a budget to.
It's beautiful.
They just went on their own accord. And it's the second kind of job that they have. I mean, Johnny, they've got their own businesses.
Sure.
They've got their own staff. They've got their own problems. And to do this outside
you
of that.
Take that on as well.
It's amazing. So lovely. Just to give you some references to what school actually costs.
Yeah.
A year at King Edward School is roughly 69,900 is what an annual school fee per kid will cost.
Yeah.
It's the second highest of all public schools in South Africa.
Really? What's the highest?
It's a phenomenal school. The facilities are great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The highest is Pretoria Boys High, which just pips over the 70,000 mark a year.
Is that for day schools? Because obviously
isn't factoring in sort of extra other things. But when you look at it like that, the most expensive public school, government school in the country is 70,000. Do you want to quickly go through the top 10?
Sure, let's go. People want to know.
Okay, number 10, private schools. See, private school kids. This is it. 323,000 rand gets you into DSG Girls in Durban.
Okay.
329,000 rand a year gets you into St. Albans College. Mm-hmm. 336,000 rand a year gets you one kid, St. Mary's Girls.
Mm-hmm.
342,000 gets you into Bishops, which you can talk about for the rest of your life. 351,000 a year gets you into Kersney College in KZN.
Right.
353,000 a year gets you into St. John's College, which is next door to Kers, which is obviously the private school. Rodine Girls, 360,000 rand if you want to send your daughter there. Oh, yeah.
And she might still turn out to be terrible.
Yeah.
You never know.
And rebellious and ungrateful.
Rebellious.
So, top three, St. Andrew's College, 364,000.
Right.
That's like cool bishops, because you know you're in the rurals.
Yes.
And then the top two, Michael House, 368,000 rand. And the most expensive
Halton.
School. Halton College.
Yeah.
398,000 rand.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what, times 5 years?
It's a lot of money.
If that little shit doesn't come out of there, ungrateful, a fantastic, exceptional.
If your kid doesn't come out earning six figures by like the second year out of school, you've wasted your money.
And got a foundation putting other kids in there.
Just look at that. That's 400, okay, round it off, 400,000 for a year.
2 million?
More. It's more. It's 5 years, right?
Five times four.
Well, okay. I'm saying a little bit more.
It's 2 million, but then...
We're not taking all the other costs into consideration.
But all the other costs. No. I reckon you're in for four, because you got to send them on holidays and that kind of stuff.
That's right. You got to clothe the little bastards.
And then you got to
feed them.
And then you got to pay lawyers if one of them gets bullied or bullies. Like in Bishops now, apparently some kid got beaten up.
Where?
Elon got beaten up. Let's not jump to
conclusions. Elon got beaten up and he ended up being the richest guy in the world. Exactly. Let me tell you something. We've got to find a way to, like, I'm not for bullying. And I mean, I've got lots of friends who were bullied. I wasn't bullied at school. I don't have a lot of sympathy. I try and be sympathetic. No, I don't. I wasn't a bully, but I also think there's a balance. There's like a little bit of, you need to have a little bit of like actual shame and pressure at school in order for you to perform.
Be alert.
And also learn about where you fit into the social hierarchy. Yes. Because if you don't figure that out early, you go into the world, you think, oh, I'll just occupy this space in the social hierarchy. And then you very quickly learn that's not going to happen. You get hit down fucking hard. And I think it can hurt you more when you're older. When you're younger, you're malleable, right? You can find your place. You can work a little harder. You can play a bit of sport. You can make a joke and the girls will like you. You can, do something at school that shows off a talent that you didn't know you had or that other people didn't know you had. And then you'll fit in because people will go, you know what? He may have weird hair, but it makes me laugh.
Yes, I mean, some kids are on the back foot and they will get bullied. Like if you rock up with leprosy and like a club foot or something, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, but that's how it's going to be through
life. Very rare occasion. One of the things is school allows you to identify threats and how you act upon that.
Yes.
So if you are bringing adverse attention upon yourself and getting bullied, again, I'm not saying that you deserve to get bullied at any time. I mean, my brothers bullied me at home.
Yeah,
so
sure.
school.
You grew up feral.
I grew up feral and it was tough, okay? Mm. But identified the sort of things that could get me unbullied a bit. Mm. Start playing sports. Become a little bit more aggressive and assertive.
Yeah, stand up for yourself.
Be someone who isn't just so unsightly. There's all these little things you can do, and school teaches you that, because if you get bullied in the workplace...
then it's very bad. And believe me, you're not going to get a whole lot of help from HR. B says, I was bullied by this girl in school. Turns out she's gay, and I think she had a crush on me. Bless.
Yeah, exactly. So B, unfortunately, you were just too damn sexy.
Right. So you deserve to be bullied. You were too sexy. Sugar says Elon got bullied and he's trying to move to Mars. Well, listen, I know loads of very, very successful people who were bullied. Like if life is too easy for you, you're just going to be a soft, meh person.
Yeah.
There's got to be a bit of a challenge. There's got to be something that you resist against.
Or have the fortitude to resist against something.
So this brings me to a story that broke yesterday. About Liam Payne from One Direction. Did you hear about this?
Yes. So he's no longer of this earth.
So, yeah, they were sharing videos all over social media yesterday. He apparently posted to Snapchat. Who knew Snapchat was still a thing? And he was in a hotel in Argentina. It looked like he was on holiday with his girlfriend. Looked like they were having a very nice time. He was still joking at breakfast about what orange juice or something. And it looked like they were having fun. They're in this beautiful place. And then, I don't know, a couple of minutes, hours later, he jumped out of the third floor of the hotel.
Wow.
And fell to his death. Now, I don't really care that he was in One Direction. Okay, I know there are lots of girls. One of my friends posted this thing. Can someone please explain to me why all these women who didn't know Liam Payne are so upset? I was like, well, I think it's just an idol pop star thing that's always been a part of, from Beatlemania, and before that there were all kinds of others. I don't care that he was famous. I don't care that he was a singer. It bothers me. It really bothers me when young people who have, in his case, a great life, talent, it seems like he has money, seems like he has options in the world.
Yes.
And this guy decides to end it all. Now, I don't get serious on this show, and I don't want to on a Friday morning. But let me tell you something. The miracle is that you're alive. I might have said this before on the show, but listen very carefully. For you to exist, and for everyone in your family tree going back 5,000 years to have fucked at exactly the right time to make you, for the right sperm to get to the right egg, for that person who's delivering either of those to not have died of malnutrition, their teeth, disease, natural disasters, war, for all of those amazing statistics and probabilities to line up just exactly right for you to exist, the chances of you being here and being alive and being sentient and being able to understand what I'm saying now are so, so tiny that if you won the lottery 5 million times in a row, you wouldn't be as lucky as you are to be alive. Do you understand that there is nothing going on internally? There is nothing inside your head that compares in magnitude to the chances of you being alive. The fact that you're here is so special and so spectacular and so unbelievably unlikely that whatever bullshit you're convincing yourself of, whatever you think you've got wrong with you, whatever's plaguing you or bothering you or making it difficult for you to get up and get out of bed in the morning, you're just an ungrateful little fucking pain in the ass. And you need to get over yourself and you need to snap out of it, because the miracle is here and it's happening and it doesn't get better than this. This is pretty fucking awesome. You're alive. And if you can walk and if you can talk and if you can think, you can get through anything. And to jump out of the building as a young pop star who has a girlfriend and a family and people who care about you, people you don't even know who care about you, who are now crying about you, for you to end that is just so spectacularly stupid and selfish that I don't even have words to describe it anymore.
The ones you just use are pretty good, though. I think that pretty much sums up a lot.
Just get over it. I mean, like, really, whatever it is, like, you could be, I'm depressed, I'm anxious. Sure. You think every other generation of humans that's been on planet Earth hasn't been depressed and anxious? You know what the difference is? Nobody listened to them. And they either had to get on with it or they had to do what Liam Payne just did. And guess who we remember? Not the ones who do what Liam Payne just did. Plus, what an absolute disgrace to throw away that gift, to throw away the chance of life. It blows my mind. So I was furious, which is something that doesn't happen to me when celebrities die. I don't get cross, and I don't even know who this guy was. I don't. I know he's one of the One Direction boys, right? That's all I know. And there are all those funny memes coming out already about, oh, there's only One Direction and it's Dom, and all this sort of shit. It's never too soon. I don't mind. Those jokes don't hurt and offend me. What hurts and offends me is that people will toss away this idea of life being too hard, life being insurmountable, challenges being too great. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? You have won a million lotteries in a row. Out of all the possible outcomes, you were it. You. Do you know how in every single aspect of how the world, the universe, 4.5 billion years ago, the stars had to be compressed into something the size of a pinhead and then explode out. The galaxies and the solar systems had to expand at a rate which is unbelievable for us to compute. There had to be pressures and temperatures that are infinite, that we can't measure with the scales that we have to measure physical phenomena. and then the earth had to form, and then, and all of this happened, and you end up being a product at the end of it. How unbelievably lucky are you? And what do? You're like, I'm not having a great time in Argentina.
In Argentina, and I always think that poor girlfriend.
Oh, no, she has to go home with a fucking buddy.
I experienced a suicide very close to me.
I remember.
A guy I live with did it.
No.
Again, I mean, it's poor reflection on around you, but you just got to take a bit more of a gap. But I don't think he's got a friend like you, Gareth, that could actually spell things out like that. But sometimes you live in these vacuums where you actually... You get all the wrong voices for years and years and years, maybe. I'm not saying it's right, but I reckon this is what people get into.
There's nothing.
You can't be that Ben, defeatist.
There's nothing so bad.
No, I agree.
There's nothing so bad that it's worth compromising on everything conspiring to make you. Everything that's conspired to make you. This panoply of forces that have come together. And you go, I'm feeling a bit sad today.
How old was this guy?
Dopamine and serotonin levels are all over the place.
Maybe he just knocked up his girlfriend. My
girlfriend broke up with me. I mean, come on. What an embarrassing reason to like end the best fucking adventure. Just drives me mad.
It does a bit.
You know, the gods in fucking heaven on Mount Olympus want to come and experience things as a human. They want, you know why? Because mortality is finite. Because humans, everything is urgent. You only have, if you're lucky, 100 years. If you live healthy, fulfilled, meaningful, happy life, you're even luckier than that. But during that time, you get to experience all the highs and all the lows. And it is the best roller coaster you could ever imagine. Gods don't have that. They live forever. No urgency. You have, supreme powers. You can make things by imagination. You can destroy things at will. Whole universes can be made up if you believe in the power of the divine. But to be human, it's so open-ended. You can do all of the things that it is possible to do with a meat vehicle and enjoy every step of the way. Like whether the good things or the bad things happen, like experience it, savor that. Instead, some people are like, no, you know what? This roller coaster is too hectic. I'm going to cut the ride short, pull the brake. How stupid. And you know what you could be missing out on?
And then the media goes into the cut and paste, check in with your friends. Mental health is no joke. Geez.
Well, it is. It's mental health month or whatever. So
fuck, it didn't help.
At least he timed it right. Ugh. Anyway. I mean, if you came here for sympathy this morning, that's not going to happen. A little bit of tough love is probably the best thing you can
get.
But
what does sympathy get you? It gets you to a place where you know you can get more sympathy. There's also that.
Well,
it's like all other drugs.
So this is a thing that's come up as well, and we will move on in a second. But just like too much aggression and violence is hugely toxic and can affect people very badly. At the other end of the spectrum, the part that no one talks about is an excess of compassion. There is such a thing as toxic compassion. All right. There is such a thing as too much empathy and sympathy and compassion. And that results in everything going tits up, just like too much violence and aggression does. So figure out how to find a little bit of balance. That could be a fun journey too. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Well said though, Gareth. You're very good at this broadcasting thing, I must say.
Drives me mad. Yesterday I did a very cool thing. I popped in. Have you got that picture of that bakery? The best smell in the universe is a bakery.
I almost smelt that because it's so sensory. So as you posted,
look at
that.
And there's coffee.
Yeah,
so what I did is I went and collected three coffees for two of the other people I was going to see first thing in the morning. And look at that bread, and you can just smell it. There's a place called Tiamo. It's at the Shell Garage.
You wouldn't think it from the outside. Yeah.
Oh, man. And you just go, you walk in there and you're just happy. It's like,
All her smells, it's the best thing.
That's the best early morning
smell. And you hear those coffee beans grinding.
Oh, my God, it's great. So there we go. And that's actually the guy who owns and runs it in the background there. Very, very cool. It's proper, like, he knows what he's doing. And his staff are awesome. And they open those ovens and the smell that comes out of there is heaven, man. Anyway, and then another good reason to be excited on this Friday morning is they killed that motherfucker Sinwa. Isn't that great? Just show them the picture of these brilliant Israeli Defense Force troops who managed to shoot this guy in the head. This is the guy who organized the October 7th massacre a year ago, and it took them just over a year to completely wipe Hamas and this motherfucker out. You see, there is karma. Like, if you are a terrible person, and by the way, I mean, this is a grisly picture. We probably shouldn't show it. Maybe YouTube will stop us. Ugh, God. All right, well, I'll see if I can't post it on my social media later.
It's a very good photo,
though. Because Ding Dong the Witch is dead, and I am not going to feel bad about bad people being dead.
Yeah,
that is the way of history, right? If you're a bad person, I mean, no one's sitting around right now going, you know, they shouldn't have treated Hitler so badly, and they shouldn't have treated Pol Pot so badly, and they shouldn't have done what they did to old Che Guevara. No, said no one, unless they're a psychopath. This guy is an absolute monster. I'm very, very glad for the rest of humanity, not just for Israel, but for all of humanity, that this guy's gone. He doesn't care about anyone's life, so why should we care about his? So there's another reason to be excited. And
again, I mean, very well, very well put, Gareth. Yeah. It's difficult to add any sort of layers onto what you're saying here.
I'm sorry. Am I?
No, I mean, you nailed it. That guy wanted innocent people dead. You can say what you want about free cars, all that kind of stuff.
I don't care about your politics. You may be the biggest pro-Palestinian. That's fine. We can still sit and have a drink together. Well, you probably won't drink, but I'll have a drink with you. But this guy was bad for all of humanity.
Wasn't a great addition to society, no.
And here's another thing to think about this morning. In case you're one of those people who wakes up and you are jealous and resentful, we need to get out of that if we want to be happy, right? So someone sent me this picture of Lisa Simpson standing there with, you know, wise words on the wall. And I thought this is such a good one to just keep on your phone for when you meet someone who complains about how everything is someone else's fault. They take no responsibility for their own lives. It's so unfair. When people say unfair, I immediately get like chills down my spine. So here's this is what it says about billionaires. None of your problems are because someone else is a billionaire.
Yep.
Ain't that the truth?
Sure.
So if you took all the billionaires and you just erased them, do you for a second think that your life would be better? Probably be a lot worse, because some of those billionaires have that money because they've made things that you use every day, like computers or, you know, the internet, things like that.
It's a reflection of how much value they give in society.
Society pays them in return with money, because society goes, I need that watch. I'm going to pay you money for it.
That's why activists are poor, because a lot of the time they add zero value to the world. Zero value.
Okay, so if you are feeling a bit like a victim this morning, that's also okay. Here is a video of fuck you in particular. Like, you know, it's sometimes just not your day. So here's a guy, he's standing around. There's someone flying one of those remote control planes, but it looks like quite a big plane. It's got propellers and everything. I mean, it almost looked like a full-size plane, and then you suddenly see the scale. And it just comes out of nowhere and hits this poor guy right in the head. And Gord Laws sent it to me. And I think it's funny because he's written there, just fuck you in particular. And this just shows if it's not your day, it's not your day, right?
Oh! Oh! Jeez.
What? Watch it again.
Oh! Oh! Jeez.
And the part that I like the most is that he lies there and goes, at the end, poor guy.
Was he flying
that's bad luck.
I mean, no, I don't even know context.
But if he was flying it and he flew it into himself, that would be a whole lot worse. I don't think so. I think it was someone else flying it. I don't know. I love it.
But just watching guys, I mean, I fly a drone from time to time, but watching guys flying planes must be the funniest thing to see anyway, crashes aside.
So you talk about flying drones. My mate was at a family wedding. And he also had a drone. And he lined everybody up on the side of this little dam. And he took his drone out and took this beautiful, like, family picture of the wedding party and everything. And he, like, hovered his drone right above the water, and then suddenly it went under the water. Oh. And it came up a little bit and went a little bit further, and then boom.
Oh, no, that's heartbreaking.
So his whole drone's gone.
Wow.
How shit is that?
That's like, it's like a guy seeing another guy getting kicked in the nuts. It's like, I've crashed a few drones. Never in a dangerous sense, but it's...
Well, I was with you once when you flew yours into a tree.
Trees move, Gareth.
No, I'm not saying you were stupid, but they are hard to fly.
Well, there's certain things you do. Yeah, I've got a very small one now. I fly it seldom. Golf course stuff, mainly.
All right, well, we have lots to talk about this morning. Apparently, I saw this headline. I don't know whether it's true or not, but they are getting closer to finalizing the Senzo Miura case.
Which, may I add, that happened 10 years ago.
It's a long time ago.
So it was seen as a cold case, which is a really cool way of making shows because, well, if it's cold, it can't be solved. But there's a... I had a little look, a cursory look at the story yesterday.
Mm.
There was some old guy who saw, because there was a whole argument there was no intruders in Foster Lewis that night.
Yeah.
As in, the killers were known, they were friends or whatever in a circle. And it's like, so no, like two outsiders made their way into the house. So it was murder. And the guy said, I know who they are. But then he didn't want to testify. So he didn't want to come forward.
Jesus.
And only in 2019 did his son eventually get him to go and say, look, you have to make a statement. You have to say these things because they were very known who the killers were in these communities, but nobody came forward with any sort of information. That's the admin. They don't want to go wait in a line, whatever it is. But the entire case now hangs on this. So from what I gather, they've got the two oaks there. And these oaks aren't nice people.
No, they must be awful people.
They got prior convictions. They are not nice people.
Sure.
They don't need to be in society. But that is now, I think today or yesterday was the final day of hearing. And it actually might go somewhere after all this time.
I hope so. I mean, can you imagine how frustrating this is for family and friends and people who actually knew Senzo? And I know Kelly Kumalo has been through the ringer on this one too. Some people said it was her.
Well, people talking about being bewitched.
Chico Twala's son. It's like a whole lot of shit going on.
It turned into a bit of a soap opera, really, and everyone is kind of sick of it.
Well, Leanne says the judge in the trial honestly looks so sick and tired of it. I always felt like being a judge would be pretty boring in reality. That guy solidifies the notion for me.
It must be terrible.
Tired and exhausted.
At least I think they got to a point now where they could be dropping the gavel. Is it gavel?
Gavel.
Mm. Be dropping that in the case anytime soon. 10 years. I mean, we thought the Oscar trial was long-winded.
Listen, that was long-winded, and I can't believe that Senzo, that happened 10 years ago.
But why is there no more?
It's unbelievable, right?
Why is there no more info about Oscar? He's out, right?
Yeah, he's under house arrest.
And I know he's not going to do any interviews or anything like that.
No, he can't. He's not allowed to. So he's not allowed to profit from anything to do with his incarceration or his crime.
Cool. But you've heard nothing.
Yeah, but why would he talk? What's he got to say?
No, I'm not saying he's going to say anything, but you're telling me that he never leaves Uncle Arnold's.
Well, I'm sure Karen Morn is still hiding in the bushes outside his house.
How bad are our investigative journalists and or creeps if we can't even get the slightest story out of this?
I'm sure there are terrible people hanging around the house trying to find like a picture of him doing his morning exercises.
But if I Google Oscar Pistorius right now, I want to get a slither. You know, Michael Schumacher was a vegetable for 20 years. People still made stories about him. There were still things you could look at, sort of. I mean, we're in the always on culture here, Oscar Pistorius. So I Google him right now. Okay, he's 37. He's turning 38 in November. Happy days.
Jeez,
but there's no stories. There's no like Oscar spotted trying to get into Atasha's.
No, I don't think they'll let him in anymore.
There was a story about him in May, snubbed by the Paralympics. Well, yeah, no shit.
Well.
Also, he's 38. He's not going to be running against anybody.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
there was a story about Oscar volunteering in Ingerkerk somewhere, says Kala. Okay. What should we do, Ben? Give Oscar a leg up, says Congo Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, there was a story on the 31st of August. But again, there's no pics. It's just...
Ben, I don't know. I don't have this hankering for an Oscar story that you do.
Guys,
clearly.
I don't either. But I mean, on a Friday, I feel like I should be like Mr. Current Affairs here. And
no, calm down. Here's something from the 70s to make you feel better. All right, have you got that Stairway to Stardom? Okay, this is amazing, Ben. We know how you get nostalgic about the 70s and the 80s and all of that stuff. Take a look at how terrible entertainment used to be. Guys, yeah, we've come a long way, and
I hate them about to love this.
You're going to love it, but I will. I mean, I was embarrassed watching it. Oh, by the way, Brian says I saw Oscar spotted at International Departures.
Talking shit, Brian.
The day we went to Bulgaria.
You're known for talking shit, Brian.
Brian, such lies. You know, the lies.
The lies of Brian all the time.
It's just always that's a heap of lies. All right, so here it is. Stairway to Stardom. This will take you back to the 70s, if you can remember the 70s. And you'll be glad you didn't know the 70s once you've seen it.
Stay tuned, because Stairway to Stardom is next with Frank Massey.
Not bad. What? Get better.
On the stairway to stardom, you'll see tomorrow starts today. On the stairway to stardom, we're here to write it up for your name. We've got singers and dancers and actors performing for you. But there's more, so much more, and it's all right here for you. On the stairway to stardom, we'll entertain with Sal and his style. On the stairway to stardom, we've got the other shows beat by a mile. On the stairway to stardom, on the stairway to stardom.
Oh my God.
On the stairway to stardom. On the stairway to stardom.
And then there's actually one guy in
the on the stairway to stardom.
Jesus, that's embarrassing.
That was phenomenal. Can we?
Like the outfits, the lighting. You can see it's done in some producer's like prefab office. Who knows what sexual molestation occurred in those walls?
Horrific.
It just looks horrific. Like, just be so grateful that you live in an age. I mean, I know we all complain about, oh, Game of Thrones. I didn't like the ending. That's what you could have had.
Can you imagine the ending to Stairway to Stardom? I think the cops just burst in and they just arrest everybody.
Arrest everyone. I mean, there was that man in the duck egg blue frill shirt, right? With that little girl and then that very old woman. And he kind of pushes the little girl to the back and you think, that's the last we'll ever see of her. And that is terrifying. That's like a ventriloquist. That's Yahya Sinwar, who ended up in Palestine, obviously leading Hamas eventually.
He looked good in his young days.
He looked a lot better. That is a belly dancer, but you don't see a belly. And who the hell knows what's going on in the background there? There's like people clapping. This poor little girl was never seen again.
These actually strike me as all the people in showbiz that were too ugly to be molested.
No, these weren't even taken to Epstein's Island.
No.
Look at that. Oh, and then this dude,
Greg Walsh,
with the spinning. Look at this guy belting out a high note, sweating like a. And here's Miles Davis before he was famous.
Didn't you love how?
Look how they Skype this guy in. They Skype in the singer.
Didn't you love how everything had a theme tune?
Right? That's amazing.
I think we should bring theme tunes back.
Theme tune.
Because, I mean, how bad are the lyrics?
On the stairway to stardom.
It's the show that's got them all beats.
It's great. I like that.
Maybe we should
change this show to Stairway to Stardom.
Can we at least have a theme tune for Fridays? I'll write the lyrics. Gareth, you can sing it.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm sure Flex can play bass.
I mean, if Stairway to Stardom can have a theme tune, we can, right? Unbelievable. I was lying in bed last night just looking for fun, interesting stuff, and that came up. But the thing that made me laugh the most is people who probably were there at the time Stairway to Stardom was a hit and are now old and living in Scandinavia. And this is what they do or did. I don't know when this was made. This is what old Scandinavians do. People always talk about, oh, Norway and Sweden and Finland and Denmark and Iceland. They're the best countries. They have the highest happiness index, you know, and they have social welfare and you don't pay for school and you don't pay for healthcare. And it's just great. Like, everybody always tells you how amazing Scandinavia is. But if this is what it's like when you're old, give me an old age home in South Africa any day of the week, twice on Sundays. And that is not a good proposition, okay? Old age homes in general. But watch what these Scandinavians do for fun. This made me laugh out loud in bed last night.
Bedre og bedre dag for dag. Bedre og bedre. Og bruk armen og bruk bena. Ikke gå rundt stolen. Ikke gå rundt, nei. Og bruk armen og bruk bena.
Wow. We thought Stairway to Stardom was the low point.
And then she eventually goes, tra la 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 la.
That woman looked like she might have come over from Germany in, I wouldn't know, mid-40s.
Oh, V-Rose is right. Welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show, exploring Gareth's surfing history. See, everybody doesn't want anyone to see their surfing history. I bring it right out on the show because, to me, this is too good to miss. I mean, look at this chick in the glasses there on the left. She becomes the main star later on. There she is.
She's got those, like, aquarium glass yes. glasses.
Gareth, why are you showing us this video of one of your old gigs? Look at her.
She's the best,
right? Oh, God, I love it. So we may be playing that a couple of hundred times in the next few months. Chair aerobics. My mother-in-law does this weekly. It's a big thing. Is that what it's called? Chair aerobics.
I hope it got more vigorous after that, though.
they just walk around the chairs. That's all. I thought it was like... what's that game you play with?
Musical chairs,
right?
And then one falls down, but yes, then they break a hip.
That doesn't get competitive at all. I think they always have enough chairs because they seem like they have more chairs than people.
Musical chairs where everyone has a chair. It's a never-ending game.
So pointless.
They play it until they die. They just rotate the instructor.
Keep going.
It's like the final stage of a life, that's it.
Oh, they don't make them like this anymore. I'm not sure if Elon Chief Twat in the comments is talking about the old age home with the people walking around the chairs or Stairway to Stardom.
I have a question.
Go on.
So, you know, if you win idols or any of these kind of things, there's a cash incentive or there's something, yeah. something. I would love to know what the stairway gets you. So if you do well in that show,
I think it was for orphans and it was better than being in the orphanage.
I would just love to know what the stairway is. Do you get a record deal?
I don't think anything happened to you.
Do you get to open up for a local performer?
No, you probably just got molested by the producer of that show, who probably had a big moustache.
Huge.
And like a yellow suit with a waistcoat.
He probably got you. He signed you up to his casting agency, which was straight away a couch.
Definitely. Ugh. And there were some old people in there showing off their
We should have had
talents.
This video last week with Shamila. She could have given us insights into how Jesus. Effective Stairway to Stardom could have
I
been.
I mean, wow. And then I found a video of a possessed woman in Sicily. Now, you know, we had that woman the other day who shouted at that guy from the car. Remember the security guard or whatever? And she goes, ah, man, you're thief. Fuck Joe. You know that one? Anyway, this is in Italian because people think, oh, Italians are so civilized and sophisticated and they know how to make lovely food and they speak this beautiful language. Well, here's a woman in Sicily.
What's Italian for thief?
You're about to see. And she like shouts at some other woman, like, because you know how Italy is, like, everything's at 100% emotion all the time. So some woman down the street, you can hear shouting at her. She's like, ah, fuck you, Samantha, or whatever. And then this chick loses it. So watch this. I mean, now that is something else. By the way, someone just put up that comment about the Kiffness because he's actually going to be our guest this morning. The Kiffness, whose new song, They're Eating the Dogs, Eating the Cats, is just fucking amazing. And it's all over. We're not so much having him on as a guest. He's coming on to hang, talk shit with us. So he'll be here for the whole of the next hour, which I'm very excited about. But yeah, the Kiffness should write a theme song for this show. He is too famous and too busy to be bothering with us.
We should show him Stairway to Stardom. I think he'll be inspired to.
You think so? Okay, let's do that. Good idea.
So right. It's quite funny how that woman who was melting
the possessed down woman, yeah.
It came from the account Visit Sicily. She is the reason I will not visit Sicily.
That's exactly right. Gareth, can you please stop showing us old family videos? So my parents had my two little nephews staying with them because my brother and sister-in-law were in the Kruger Park as well. And so the boys were there, and my parents thought it would be a good idea to show them old family movies, right? Well, it took the boys like 15 minutes, and they were like, that's enough, thanks.
Just bored.
Oh, yeah.
Just horrified. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, it's not entertainment compared to the kind of stuff that they can see on YouTube.
No, because it's unedited. It's,
yeah, it's like jumpy footage and stuff my grandfather recorded of, like, you know, a plane taking off, yeah. A plane landing again and shit like that. And my parents are like, isn't that exciting? And they're like, no, not really.
No.
We don't need to see that. So I don't know whether they'll have any, I don't even know if they'll keep that material and look after it. Probably it'll just get thrown on the rubbish dump.
Is it on VHS?
No, it's on DVD.
Oh, okay.
Because they had it digitized.
Oh, so they made the effort.
Yeah, because it used to be on 8mm film.
Oh, wow. Well, then it'll be kind of
my grandfather. So the funniest thing about that is I watched it a 20 years ago or whatever. And so
you weren't subjected to the session.
No, I especially avoided it, actually. I was invited, but I said, no, thanks. So an interesting thing about that is my grandmother died when I was probably about 11. And I had forgotten how she sounded. And then I heard this voice of hers on the video. And it was kind of cool. Like, it was interesting. And also the accent, because she was born in Jamaica, but she had this very English accent, right? So it was nice to hear her voice and then my grandfather's voice narrating the thing. I won't say that it was like a Marvel superhero movie, but it was kind of cool because you see, I saw my mother and father when they were very young in motion picture as opposed to just photographs, which was cool. I mean, that in those days, for my grandparents to have been like recording stuff on 8mm, that was like,
yeah, that's
state of the art, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that we've even got that is very cool.
Well, if they were talking on it, great. And yeah. If your grandmother didn't sound like that hell victim
sound like that woman from Visit Sicily. I love the way that is what they used to market Sicily. Just show it again and look at the Visit Sicily thing in the corner. A curse possessed by the demon. Oh my god. Okay, all right.
I love the resting bitch face that she has after delivering that shriek.
A cursed possessed, the devil has taken over your mind. That's what she's saying in Italian. But yes, it doesn't make me want to go to Sicily either.
It's probably ever something trivial, the fact that she is wants gluten-free pasta. Because she's got some problems.
it might be something very small. Like, she went to the nail salon and they used the wrong like shade of pink.
No, like you're not watching the football later or something.
Yeah, or you're not supporting Napoli. Why the fuck you? I love seeing people who are super super angry because they forget that they're now being recorded, and that's forever, right? So when you're at your worst, because let's just face it, I mean, if you recorded me when I'm having a real bad time and I'm shouting at somebody, I'm gonna look appalling.
Yes.
And I'm gonna it's gonna haunt me for the rest of my life. And that woman's probably, she's got grandkids or whatever, and they go to nonna, and they sit in her lap and she plays games and she like makes them laugh and do 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 do. But now if they see that, they'll be like, fuck, she's an evil bitch. There's no way we want to go to nonna this weekend. Oh, man. All right, here's something else that I want you to see. Now, The Sound of Music, well-known movie, right?
Julie Andrews.
And who else was in it?
Some spoiled kids.
Yeah, a whole bunch of. There was the Von Trapp children.
Yeah.
And Julie Andrews sings things like, high on a hill was a lonely goat herd. But you didn't know this about The Sound of Music.
They're talking about the movie The Sound of Music. And this person says, I told my mom to watch out for the Reverend Mother calling Maria a bleep face, and she hasn't stopped laughing since. Okay, roll the clip.
Maria, Our abbey is not to be used as an escape. What is it you can't face?
Maria, so our abbey is not to be used as an escape. What is it you can't face?
I do love it. All right, so this, there she
what
is again.
What is it you can't face?
It was quite a
and
burn,
the way she and the way she goes.
It was quite a burn. She was crippled by that.
Yeah, she was totally like, Jesus, Reverend Mother. Is that completely unnecessary? Oh, man.
I'm going to try not to fuck up the joke, but there's this joke about these kids at the Catholic school and the Pope's coming to visit. And the Mother Superior goes to the class beforehand and she says, now listen, the Pope's coming to visit. And when he says hello, you say, hello, Your Holiness. And he'll ask you to spell a word and you say, you choose something easy and you go, I can spell cat and you're C-A-T. And he'll say, very well done. Keep it calm. And they put little Jesus right at the back of the class, right? Because his name is, he's Mexican, but his name is Jesus. It's going to cause trouble, that kind of shit. Anyway, little Jesus is very badly behaved. And because they're not Spanish, they call him Jesus. But now the Pope's coming, so they're like, okay, well, we've just got to be on our best behavior. Anyway, Pope walks into the class. They all bow down, Your Holiness, Your Holiness. And he says, hello, children. How very nice to see you. They say, thank you, Your Holiness. And he points to little Lizzie, and she stands up, and he goes, what's your name? And she, my name is Lizzie, and I can spell cat, C-A-T. Very well done, Lizzie. Very, very good. Anyway, they go to the next kid. And what is your name? My name is Johnny, and I can spell hat, H-A-T. And the Pope goes, very, very good. And then inevitably, I mean, Mother Superior's playing with her rosary and fucking hoping that the Pope's not going to choose him. But obviously the Pope chooses Jesus. And he stands up and he goes, my name is Jesus and I can spell chrysanthemum. And the Mother Superior goes, Jesus, you can't. And the Pope goes, Christ, woman, give the child a chance. All right. If you know a guy, and funnily enough, I actually heard from somebody in the last 2 weeks whose girlfriend had a T-shirt made of her face on it. Oh, here wow. is an example of how bad that can get. This is when you know you're in psycho territory and you need to get the hell out. By the way, we haven't even done sport yet. We've got to get to that. But look, there's the crazy girlfriend. There's her face enlarged enormously on him. Look how happy he looks, by the way. And it says on the shirt, if you are reading this, you are too close. I have a girlfriend.
Look, let's not be too hasty on the judgment here. She looks attractive. He doesn't.
Jesus, he looks happy.
She go, look, she looks nice in person. The face and the shirt, though.
Wow. She had that shirt made, huh?
Yeah, it's weird how, you know, she actually looks much better in real life. She actually looks nice in real life. The shirt is horrific.
She actually looks like that friend of ours, Makita.
Yeah, she does, a little actually, bit. Right, no, yeah.
She does, and she's also crazy.
She could also make a shirt.
Yeah, she could make a shirt. Hmm. Sure. I feel very sorry for that dude.
It's an interesting meme because it's not like any other guy hasn't done that before.
What do you mean?
Well, this is what happens when you stick your dick in crazy.
Yes, no,
most guys, I mean, that's your 20s, no. Right?
Yeah, Patrick says he looks like he's going to off himself. By the way, that is not Liam Payne from One Direction.
Yeah.
What do the producers go, oh, you guys, well, you're such pussies in that production booth. You really are.
Offended.
You know what they do? They sit there and they go, oh, whenever we say anything controversial, fucking millennials and Gen Zs.
I hate that phrase too soon. Topical is what the best.
Please, man. I could tell an Amelia Earhart joke and they'll still go, oh, too soon.
If you don't strike while the iron's hot in life, you're missing out.
Amelia Earhart.
Stop
joking.
Saying too soon.
The Titanic. Ooh, too soon. Yeah. What's wrong with you two? You're such pussies. You really are. All right, let's do some sport, Ben. We've only got a few minutes left. Well, or do you want to wait until 7?
I'm easy, you know. I'm comfy.
Let's
here.
Wait. I've got some more funny shit to show you. All right, so here, here is Tourette's in Scottish. Now, Tourette's is
the
obviously
best accent for Tourette's.
All right, so it is the best accent because it already sounds angry. Yeah. Oh no, here comes
Clyde or Fergus. Fergus has got this Tourette's. You've got to watch him. He's hilarious. So here he is. Here's Fergus or whatever his name is. Tourette's in Scottish. I do think Tourette's is hilarious, and I will not be made to feel shameful about that. I've met one person when we were at varsity. She had a nervous tic. She would go occasionally, but she didn't like swear. And I still want to meet a proper swearing Tourette's person, and I want to make them my best friend and go everywhere with them because I think it would be the most entertaining thing imaginable. Anywhere, airports, restaurants, everywhere I would go, I would take this best friend of mine who swears with Tourette's.
But you know, like that thing, I think it was a South Park episode, Cartman wanted to do it, and then she developed it, and he couldn't get rid of it anymore. Mm. So you should never try.
I don't want to be the person with Tourette's.
Saying, because people are now going to want to be your best friend, so they're going to try and get Tourette's to be your best friend.
No, because all I'm saying is that, you see, I can also change best friends if it becomes troublesome after a while.
I'm just trying to caution people not to try and get Tourette's, because you might actually
In my imagination, I think it would be very entertaining, but maybe after 2 days it wouldn't be. Here's the Scottish Tourette's guy.
I'm trying my best to hold it in.
Jargon! Fuck off!
Sorry. John's Tourette weekend gets underway with a relaxation session.
Picture in your mind a beautiful green field.
I'm up to my knees in fucking cow park.
Is there a wind? And when you're ready, if you get up from the recliner.
It's gonna be.
Johnny Davidson. Okay. Chopper dyed his pubes
I'm
ginger.
Just gonna shoot the list. Don't shoot the
list. It's a Jap's eye.
If he could meet somebody who could look beyond the Tourette's and symptoms, that he would be able to find somebody that he could kind of get on with and settle down with.
Another gay man.
A night out with one of those guys would be amazing.
I agree. It would be very entertaining. I see Johnny has an MBE.
For being a fucking legend at the pub.
Yeah. Janine says, Gareth, we're friends. I always have Tourette's in the car. Well, then I need to travel with you in the car, J9. That's a lot of fun. I would like to, listen, I know people who get road rage, very different to Tourette's. But there is something very funny about Tourette's in Scottish, right?
That would be so funny.
It does appeal to me.
It would be so funny if your Tourette's is so like niche that your Tourette's is foul Portuguese, or you break into really malicious Russian. You can't speak the language, but those words are in your head.
That and it always comes out at the worst possible moment.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole. Prick.
Or just like rampant misogyny for no reason.
And you send them into a feminist convention and just watch what happens.
That would be a real superpower, to be able to cast Tourette's on someone. Like the Harry Potter thing, and you can cast Spanish Tourette's onto someone.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of the joke about the guy who's walking along the beach. It's my favorite Afrikaans joke, so you have to tell it in Afrikaans, right? So these two guys, and they're walking along the beach. I'll do it bilingually. It'll make more sense. And there's a lump in his sant, and they pick up the lamp, and the guy frifes the lump, and a genie pops out. The genie goes, hello. Axel, for elke een van julle 'n wens gee. So I'll give you each a wish. So the first guy, obviously, he's got a huge hunchback, right? And the one guy stutters, the other guy is a hunchback. So the hunchback guy goes, "Kan jy nie vir my help om van hierdie bochel ontslae te raak nie?" So the genie goes, "Yeah, sure, I can get rid of your bochel. Simsalabim or whatever," and boom, the guy can stand up straight and he dances around on the beach and he goes, "Fuck, this is fantastic. This is so amazing. I love this. I'm having the happiest time." The genie turns to the other guy and says, "What can I do for you?" And the guy goes, and he goes, "Achman, fuck you, krijg jou bochel."
So harsh.
Horrible, right? So yes, you could wish to ransom someone, or you could just wish them to be a hunchback. Nice and fun. All right, when we come back, we'll have some sport with Ben. We got the Kifness joining us, which will be loads of fun. And I'll tell you about a Greek man convicted of causing a disturbance by entering properties next to his neighbors to smell their shoes. Lovely, classy bit of Greek behavior.
for you on this Friday morning. All of that and more. It's just such a smorgasbord. You can't afford to go anywhere. Stick around.